You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
And good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. I'm back. That's right. I'm back. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. For those counting, it is day number 510 of the Donald J. Trump presidency, under which he's been, well, under fire, under assault for 393 days since the May 17th, 2017 appointment of Robert Mueller, the special counsel enlisted to ostensibly look for Russian meddling as it relates to Donald Trump. But just imagine being in a leadership position for 510 days and nearly 400 of those 510 days being under attack, you know, roadblocks at every step of the way. That's what we're seeing, and that, of course, is the major, I believe, the major story of our lifetime. And I don't want to sound like this is hyperbole, but what we're seeing is really, again, just drawing the lens out here, the battle between good and evil, the battle between the left and the right. And I say that almost with a heavy heart, because this is not political. I don't believe it's merely political. It's all a political, but just not only political. We are in the fight of our lives, and I don't think this can be underplayed. Look at what happened. Look at how the media, look at how pundits are treating President Donald Trump with the Singapore North Korean summit. Look at the disrespect. Look at the intent behind those people trying to rip down anything potentially to be built from Donald Trump's actions. I think it's disgraceful. And I do believe when we look at everything that's taking place, there are people trying to rip down our nation. This is bigger than Donald Trump. This is bigger than you and I. This is bigger than anything we've ever seen before. And if I can just say that, if people just understand that, I think that's it. This is really for all of the marbles right now. And it is the deep state, the shadow government, the group of individuals, the entities that various conspiracy debunkers say that it doesn't exist, who are propelling, of course, the narrative that, well, you're just crazy. You know what I mean. I don't think I have to go any further than that, because I believe in looking at the emails I receive from my listeners, and thank you so much for emails. Thank you so much for your feedback, Doug@HagmannReport.com. It's in the program description on BTR. I can't answer every one. I wish I could. I read every email I get. Sometimes I get a little bit behind, but I do read every one. In fact, I've got some printed and put up on my office bulletin board, just because you folks are so intelligent, and there's some reminders in there with a few things. And thank you. And I especially like this goes with the flagship show as well. I especially like those listeners who send pictures of them with their dogs. I mean, I'm a dog lover. Lady at the studio dog woke her up at 4:30 this morning. She looked at me as usual and said, "What are you doing to me? Why, you know, why do I have to get out of my bed?" But anyway, she accompanied me to the studio this morning. So if you hear a snore in the background, that's Lady catching up on her beauty sleep. By the way, she's gonna be 4 years old, and she's such a great dog. But anyway, before I get into the topic of the topic, which is going, this is the program, this episode today, we're going to be talking about the upcoming IG report expected out tomorrow. And I spent a lot of time looking at just trying to get like a summary, for example. You know, many people are saying, what do you expect? Well, it's interesting because I do follow, I'm learning now how to follow some Twitter feeds and such. And believe me, I'm horrible at the technology. So, at any rate, I've been seeing a lot of people saying, I just don't quite understand what's going on. This is like a soap opera. And I understand that sentiment because it's difficult to follow without a scorecard. But that's what I'm going to be getting into, really, what's going on with the IG report, McCabe, the top tier of Main Justice, the top tier of the FBI, and really the larger, and some of the intricacies of what we can expect. But before I do, I want to readdress one more time, and hopefully for the last time, what I said yesterday during the flag, during the first hour or first half hour of the flagship show. We are watching the growth, this growth spurt of what I would call the honest media. People that are, that have YouTube channels and have massive, sometimes and other times just, you know, moderate Facebook or Twitter social network presence. You might have 1,000 followers, you might have 10,000 or 100, it doesn't matter. But I've been seeing this vicious attack, even more than I've said in the past, against really the truth, what's really going on. And one of the hot-button issues of late, and again, please bear with me on this, and please listen to the entire program, because I try to connect everything up at the end. That's kind of my MO. And if I fail, if I fall short of that, I apologize. Look, I know you only have 24 hours in a day. You only have so much time to listen to programs. So you've got to be very selective of who you listen to, what you listen to. I understand that. So, no, because I'm the same way. I can't listen to all the programs I really want to listen to in the time that I've got. Ultimately, I do, but that said, it's difficult. But I would hope to be one of the first, among the first programs you do listen to. And by the way, yesterday I had some technical issues, and I apologize profusely. I got emails, where's your program at? I apologize. Hopefully those have passed. But having said all of that, a hot button issue right now, taking social media by storm, is of course the allegations of child sex trafficking in South Tucson. And I know you're sick and tired of hearing about this and about the issues there. Many people have already formulated opinions saying, for example, that there's this big cover-up taking place with respect to what was found. People's stories have changed, and it's just not true. So I beg of you, when you look at social media, when you look at the information on social media, please listen to those people who either have been there, are there, are involved directly into what's going on, or at least know what's going on by way of their contacts, like my contacts, to really understand what's going on. In a nutshell, last May, or at the end of May, at the end of last month, an encampment was found. And I'm being very, I just want to be very quick about this, and very, just give you an overview, not too detailed. And the camp, lately, a small camp was found, septic sewer or septic tank overturned on its side, and evidence, supposedly evidence of child sex trafficking in this one area. Long story short, it was found by a group called Vets on Patrol, who contacted a second party, and that second party contacted Vets for Child Rescue, Craig Sawyer. And Craig Sawyer was told that, and I'm being, again, this is just, I'm painting with broad strokes here. Craig Sawyer was told that not just evidence of child sex trafficking was found there, but in fact, there was a child being held as well as a perpetrator. So Craig and another gentleman, both former Navy SEALs, with the organization Vets for Child Rescue, immediately responded, loaded, you know, I mean, battle rattled, loaded for bear to the location. upon finding the location, they found some suspicious things, but no child, no perpetrator, no instruments of crime at that location, no corpses, none of that at that location. I'm stressing that, at that location. And of course, the initial, Craig Sawyer's initial assessment of the area, this looks suspicious, this looks like I've seen this before and it's very inhumane. That was the initial assessment. Again, please stick with me on this, because this is what will divide this community. Okay, so that video goes viral, just the initial assessment, that goes viral. And lend some credence to the findings of this organization called Vets on Patrol. And I'm not going to say anything disparaging about any particular group or person. Well, after further investigation, 9 police reports, 8 visits, 20 officers, including command-level officers from the Tucson Police Department, hours of investigation by Craig Sawyer, Vets for Child Rescue, who I know personally. I know the operation. Believe me, this is a great organization, a great operation. They know what they're doing. They know how to handle crime scenes. They know how to handle surveillance. They know how to handle investigations. But having said all of that, the initial analysis or the initial assessment, yeah, this looks suspicious and it looks inhumane. Yeah, that apparently there's something going on here. Now, further investigation, however, with additional information, and this is important, okay, Craig had said, well, wait a second, okay, this doesn't look right here. How did this, and I'm using this as an example, for example, how did this get here? Give me some background here. What's going on? Well, upon further investigation, Craig Sawyer realized that everything was not as it was presented. Please understand that. Meanwhile, his initial assessments were weaponized against him. And this is what is happening in the larger sense in the alternative or the honest media, by people who want to disparage others and destroy what we are attempting to build. And I want to be very firm about this. So, long story short, and I'm getting just email after email after email and messages saying, well, Craig Sawyer was threatened or sold out or whatever. No, it's much simpler than that. The evidence, when one first arrives at a crime scene, does an initial assessment, looks around, says, okay, this looks suspicious. Okay, fine. You can record that for historical reference purposes. But then you've got to have the opportunity to investigate. Upon further investigation, Craig Sawyer, and I spoke with him, I've seen the paperwork, I've seen the reports, I've seen the photographs. It's not what it appears to be. It might have been at one time, but most assuredly, the way it's being presented on social media is not. That does not mean that it wasn't at one time something of concern. What I'm saying right now is it is not what it was presented to be. Now, please, I'm speaking rather vague because I don't want to insert myself into an ongoing investigation and compromise the integrity of any investigation beyond the compromise that has been made. Yes, there are some odd things there. Yes, there's some problems there, but not in the way you think. And most assuredly, not caused by or perpetuated by Craig Sawyer. The reason I bring this up is because there are people, and please understand this, when we talk about Pizzagate, we talk about Pedigate, there are people who are attempting to change the facts, to rewrite the narrative. Pizzagate is a real thing. However, it extends beyond any one person, any one location, any one event. Okay, it's a real thing. Pedogate is a real thing. The problems arise when people within social media take one or two elements, either insert a lot of hyperbole or their own interpretation of facts, and just spread it around social media to the extent where it's beyond anything that resembles reality. And that's what happened here. And I'm just saying to everyone, please use discernment. After looking at this hours and talking with a police lieutenant out of Tucson, talking with Craig Sawyer, talking with another investigator there with Vets for Child Rescue, I understand now what happened. And I will say this, it's not what you think. And I stand firmly with Craig Sawyer. I stand firmly that this is not what it appears to be. And there was some tampering done. There was some spoliation of evidence done, whether unwittingly or intentionally. There was some conflating of locations and evidence as well. And this is not something you do. You, when you are looking at a case of potential child sex trafficking, you do not mess with evidence. And that's what happened here. Period. And to those people who are taking on Craig Sawyer and saying that he's a sellout, well, that's not the case. Now, I don't want to spend any more time on it, but I wanted to address the multiple emails I've received and even comments on our YouTube channel. Frankly, that's the way it is. But looking beyond that and looking in the larger sense, what is taking place here, folks, there is this desire to destroy anything that is truthful in the honest or alternative media. There is this agenda to destroy the reputations or shake the credibility, your belief in people like us and those people who are striving to bring you the truth. And they're doing it by saying, well, they're sellouts, they've changed their story, they're, you know, but it's even greater today than it's ever been. And I just ask, look, I'm not in this for fame, notoriety, money, Lord knows. I'm in this because I am so concerned about the future of my country, the current state of my country, and the future of my country for my children, my grandchildren, and really for all God-fearing people. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So I attempt to bring you the cutting-edge truth based on facts, verified facts, facts I verified about any and all matters that I speak of. I will tell you this. There's a huge problem with child and human sex trafficking, and it's real, and it's constant, and we must fight against it. But we must do it in the proper way. And I say that, look, I'd be the first one to bust down the door if I thought that there was a child being held against, you know, in a sex trafficking thing. I'd be the first one through the door. But again, you've got to make sure that that's the case. So I just want to, for those people who know what I'm referring to, I hope that clears things up. If you don't know what I'm referring to, well, it's out there, and I'm sure you'll run into it, and I'm sure you're going to say, you know, disparaging comments about me, the Hagman Report, Vets for Child Rescue. That's fine. It is what it is. You're going to believe. There are people out there who are attempting to destroy the honest truth. The people out there trying to get the truth out. So, but I wanted to make sure that got out again, and hopefully I don't have to mention it, that situation again. because look, Craig Sawyer does not need me to validate his efforts. Vets for Child Rescue, they don't need me to validate anything. I certainly don't need validation. I'd like it, but I don't need it. The bottom line, we are all under attack. And I've learned so much over the last year, 2 years. I've learned so much about how the left, the democratic, socialist, communist, whatever you want to call them, the Luciferians, I mean, that group, I've learned so much about their tactics. And even some self-professed Christians and Christian conservatives who have sold out. And it's sad, but I've learned a lot. And maybe that's where we should be looking, in my view, is what is happening in the larger sense. That's really what's going on. And we have so many. When you look at it, if you're my age, okay, it's kind of a learning curve, admittedly for me. Maybe not for you, but for me. It's a learning curve. All of this digital technology and, you know, the social networking, Facebook and all this, it's kind of, wow, you know, there's a lot to really learn. Of course, like Reddit and, you know, other forums and such to really, like, okay, man, there's a lot. But there are so many talented investigative journalists who are just doing this for the love of their country and for truth. This, you know, and of course they're under attack as we are. So I see the bigger picture here, and I guess that's really what I wanted to say. Please understand, we are all under attack. And our credibility is being assailed, for example, and some very well intentioned. If you can believe that, you know, it's some people are well intended, but are really incorrect, and I can forgive that. It's the people who have maliciousness in order to tear down what's good is, to me, unforgivable. Maybe you don't like that word. It's a different level of malice. So, but again, that's what's going on. Now, the essence of this episode today, we are waiting for tomorrow, which happens to be President Donald Trump's birthday. Tomorrow, we're waiting for the Inspector General's report. So what I did, and I had this ready yesterday, but technical issues. I'm gonna play this audio segment. It's Chairman Goodlatte explaining what we can expect. Thinking back to the numerous social media postings I've seen, or the numerous comments I've seen, well, man, this is like a soap opera. What, you know, can someone explain really what's going on? Now, those people who have followed this program, you understand what's going on. I'm not going to go over and retread what we've already talked about. But I think Chairman Goodlatte gives a pretty good analysis from his Sunday appearance on Sunday Morning Futures with what we can expect from the IG's report. And he says a couple of very interesting things about this, not the least of which is his emphasis on John Huber, who is the prosecutor working with the Inspector General. And this is why I selected, out of all of the audio clips that I could have played, this is why I selected this one. It's about 4.5 minutes long. I know the rule in radio, you shouldn't play clips over 45 seconds, but you know what? This is important, I think, for people to understand. I've trimmed as much off of this as possible just to make it succinct. So here's Chairman Representative Goodlatte talking on Sunday Morning Futures about what we can expect tomorrow with respect to the IG report. Go ahead and play clip one.
Right now is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Virginia Congressman Bob Goodlatte. Mr. Chairman, thanks very much for joining us.
Maria, it's great to be with you.
What should we expect from this IG report, which is expected to drop on the 14th on Thursday?
Well, I think this is going to be a very thorough report. It's been a long time in the making. I know the inspector general has examined thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of documents to get to this point. And I think it's going to shed a lot of light on what the Judiciary Committee and the Oversight and Reform Committee have been investigating for the past 8 months. And that is this unbelievable bias on the part of our nation's premier law enforcement organization, the several leaders at the top of the organization, in handling one investigation, Hillary Clinton's, compared to an investigation into the so-called Trump-Russia collusion, about which, so far, there has been no evidence brought forth.
Exactly. So do you believe there were laws broken, sir?
I do believe that there have been laws broken. I think that the matter with regard to Andrew McCabe and leaks related to that reflect on that. But I also think that there are a number of other things that we have uncovered, examining the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page texts, for example, that show activities within the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation that I hope the Inspector General's report will shed light on and may make it clear whether or not criminal laws have been violated. But certainly one thing is very clear, and that is that the Federal Bureau of Investigation needed a house cleaning. The current new director, Christopher Wray, has been doing that. I think he's made great progress. And we need to make sure that this never happens again. We've got the 2020 presidential elections coming up in not too long a time. And it's very, very important that the FBI has gets back to its protocols with regard to how it conducts investigations, particularly ones as sensitive as these have been.
Yeah, Devin Nunes came on this program a month ago or a month and a half ago and said, we've done our digging and we've done our due diligence, and now we know that there was actually no official intelligence used to actually launch an investigation into Donald Trump. And here we have the special counsel continuing. So let me ask you, do you believe there will be an accountability at the end of the day? You don't have the authority to prosecute. The inspector general doesn't have the authority to actually prosecute. So how will there be accountability?
Well, I think there already has been accountability to some extent based upon the people who are no longer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, including the director and the deputy director. But I also think that this report is going to shed additional light and put some of the pieces together because he's had the opportunity to examine more documents than any of the committees in Congress have been able to examine to this point. So we're very interested in seeing this. We will examine it. We will have a hearing. Part of that hearing will be classified so we can get into the classified aspects of his report. But we're also going to have a public hearing so that the public can learn as much as possible about this investigation, and we will have the inspector general there to answer our questions.
So what happens now in terms of the referrals of criminal charges? The last IG report from Michael Horowitz recommended criminal charges against Andrew McCabe, the number two deputy director at the FBI. This weekend, Jim Comey has been taunting the president on Twitter, basically taking shots at him over the relationship between the U.S. and Canada, and we are expecting that there could be some real significant issues brought up about Jim Comey in this upcoming IG report. So what are your thoughts on that in terms of what happens next?
Well, two things. First of all, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, did appoint United States Attorney Huber from Utah to look into the matters also being looked into by the Inspector General. He does have prosecutorial authority, and he can make referrals the Inspector General can make referrals for prosecution. So if there is evidence of criminal wrongdoing, and I believe we've seen some already, as you just referenced the Inspector General's reference with regard to Andrew McCabe, we will see that happen. But the question is, who will actually do that prosecuting? Will it be Mr. Huber, or do we need somebody who is completely independent of the Department of Justice? Mr. Huber got the matter outside of what we call main justice, outside of Washington, D.C. But I think, and many others in the Congress continue to think, that we need to have an independent special counsel, separate and apart from the work that Mr. Mueller is doing, to handle these potential criminal referrals and to look into this matter for the possibility of finding further matters beyond what the inspector general does.
All right, we'll talk more about this once that IG report hits on Thursday. We're going to have a lot on that on the Fox Business Network on the morning show, Mornings with Maria.
Okay, just to be clear, that was House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte who is the Congressional Oversight Representative closest to Inspector General Michael Horowitz. He was discussing the upcoming IG report due out tomorrow. This is, as I often reference Conservative Treehouse, this was presented, I think it was a couple of days ago. It might have been on Sunday at Conservative Treehouse Sundance, of course. Now, as Sundance notes, by the way, as background, it is Chairman Goodlatte who personally selected and does select the individuals, the lawmakers, who questioned FBI counterintelligence head Bill Priestep. Whereas the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Devin Nunes holds primary intelligence oversight, Chairman Goodlatte holds primary justice and judiciary oversight, a distinction with a very important difference. And what, just as the CTH had mentioned, and I wanted to draw this out as well, it's worth noting that Chairman Goodlatte directed a lot of attention to U.S. Attorney John Huber on the criminality behind the IG report, what the criminal elements will show, if what this report will show. The report, again, is scheduled to be made public tomorrow, Thursday, June 14th. That's what you just heard, a summary of what you can expect. Now, there are people I've heard saying, well, we shouldn't really expect much. And remember, this is only one portion of the IG's report or one aspect of their investigation, which is true. But there's more to the story. And I really want to remind everyone, remember how suddenly, without warning, so to speak, we were notified of the criminal, actions of the indictment of Jim Wolf, the not a Senate aide, but the head of security for, I'll just say, for classified documents or classified information. And we didn't really know about that until the indictment was made public. So the reason I brought that up is I want to caution people, just because you don't see things happening right now doesn't mean they aren't happening. Before moving on, I do want to welcome a new sponsor, FilterEasy.com. That's FilterEasy.com. I want to welcome FilterEasy.com for sponsoring this program and our flagship show, The Hagman Report. That's FilterEasy.com. Let me tell you about this company really quickly. You know, everyone, obviously, you have a HVAC system, a furnace, an air conditioning system. Well, you know, you've got to change the filters. And I used to be terrible at it. And, you know, you forget to change the filters. Well, that can really muck up your system, your heating and air conditioning system, plus the contaminants that you breathe in the air. I know my wife is susceptible to, you know, the allergens that float around in the air. So it's important to change your filters often. Well, Filter Easy has made it that much easier. You can outsmart your chore list by signing up for Filter Easy. Outsmart your everyday chore list. Filter Easy is a super convenient subscription service that makes it impossible to forget to change your filter in your air conditioner or furnace or whatever your system might be. Filters arrive at your front door when you need to change them. It's just that simple. You can sign up in under 5 minutes on your computer, your mobile phone, your iPad, whatever device you have. To sign up, all you need to know is how many air filters your home needs and your filter sizes. I use this service for my home, for the office and studio. And the vast majority of homeowners and renters, we forget to change our air filters with regularity, or as they should properly be changed. I remember, this is a true story, my furnace quit working. And I had just put a new furnace in shortly after I moved. And the service call, the technician came out and said, well, the problem is your filter is clogged. And I didn't even know filters get clogged. Well, I didn't change the filter since I had moved in. It cost me $75. plus the cost of the filter. Now, with Filter Easy, you don't have to remember to change your air conditioner or furnace filters because they do the remembering for you. When it's time to change them, they'll be at your doorstep. And this is what I love about this, because I don't have to remember. And you know, the older you get, the more you forget, at least in my case. Filter Easy is a convenient subscription service for something you need versus you know, something that you would like, okay? It's super practical. It's a no-brainer solution. And that's why I subscribe to Filter Easy. For listeners of this show, you can receive your first order free. This is a fantastic offer. Take advantage of this. As listeners to this program, you can receive your first order free by visiting filtereasy.com. Really simple. Or calling 1-855-910-EASY. Make sure you use the promo code Hagman. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. So sign up today at filtereasy.com to get your first free, or get your first order for free. That's filtereasy.com, promo code Hagman. Why not welcome them as a sponsor to this show? All right, getting back to the content. What we're seeing today, again, we're waiting to, within 24 hours or 36 hours at the max, we will have the Inspector General's report. Now, I don't believe it's any coincidence that we saw the indictment of James Wolfe prior to the OIG report coming out. And this is part of the bigger picture. The indictment of former senior Senate Intelligence Committee staff member, the head of security, shall we say, James Wolfe. You've got to look at this in the larger context. Now, again, citing CTH, Conservatory House, citing Sundance, interestingly, he notes that it's customary, in keeping with the custom and a very familiar pattern, the big Department of Justice FBI investigative releases, they're timed to drop when President Trump is outside of Washington, D.C. It happened just like that. It happened in this case. It was the Senate Intelligence Committee where Wolf worked. That's important to understand. It's well known that the Senate Intelligence Committee is one of the most corrupt committees in Congress. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to see the staff, any staff from this specific committee, leaking secret and top secret classified information. As noted by Sundance, the committee rots from the head down. Now, I read the indictment, and of course the indictment, Wolf is charged with lying to investigators. That's charge 1001, violation of 1001 of the U.S. Code. It's, as Dan Bongino says, it's the jaywalking of federal charges. He wasn't charged with leaking. He was charged with lying to federal investigators. According to the indictment, Wolf was notified by the FBI of a classified intelligence leak sometime in the investigation surrounding that at the end of October of last year. Now, from the indictment, you can see that Wolf was interviewed and confronted by FBI investigators on December 15th of 2017. After he admitted that he lied to FBI investigators, Wolf resigned from his position. It was on December 15th, 2017, when Wolf was arrested. The FBI had him dead to rights. Now, the grand jury proceedings, separate from the arrest, separate from, hey, you're busted, Mr. Wolf, they didn't start until May 3rd of this year. Now, consider the timeline. According to the indictment, Wolf was notified by the FBI of a classified intelligence leak investigation, end of October. The indictment, when you read the indictment, Wolf was interviewed and confronted by FBI investigators about a month and a half about a month and a half later, December 15th. And then he admitted he lied to FBI investigators. The grand jury proceedings didn't start until last month. Really, almost 6 months, five months plus. later on May 3rd, 2018. The indictment was sealed until June 7th, last week. So that means 6 months of investigative work was taking place between the time Wolf was arrested on December 15th and in his indictment on June 7th. Now, on June 15th, according to the indictment, FBI investigators were aware of four specific journalists or reporters who participated in the leak material. The FBI likely had more to choose from, but focused on those specific reporters with specific intents and purposes during the interview with Mr. Wolf. Now, the four reporters are not named, but their activity that's outlined is enough to make it possible to understand who is who. And again, this was done at Conservative Treehouse, and my hat's off to them. But this is important in the larger sense. I'm not just using his material, their material alone. What I'm doing is giving you the broader, bigger picture. Now remember, Goodlaw talking about the IG report due tomorrow. Wolf, his indictment, the unsealing of the indictment this past week. How do they relate? What's going on? Let's look at the larger picture here, because from the larger picture, we can see the trajectory of this investigation. Plus, we can see as well the components of what I would call the coup against our nation. And I know you guys get sick and tired of hearing about that, but this is the biggest story, I believe, of our lifetime. Now, follow me on this. It was December 15th. Again, the FBI was made aware of four specific journalists. There were more, but four reporters who participated in the leak material. Now, I do understand, and I want to mention this, I have a real problem with the government attacking reporters. Think back to the Pentagon Papers. Think back to Watergate. The FBI, the Justice Department, should not meddle, in my view, in the First Amendment rights, whether you're a reporter or a person. Now, that is not to give a pass to anyone publishing classified information. Think back. Remember when Geraldo was back during the, I think it was during the first Gulf War, he actually made like a rudimentary map in the sand with a stick, or maybe it might have been with his finger, and it was really criticized by the military for doing so. It was kind of a visual aid that really wasn't a visual aid. Okay, that's different, of course. Giving away military positions or giving away classified information, that's different. But so I'm uncomfortable with the government grabbing a hold of iPhones or notes from reporters. I've got a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the going after the leakers who are leaking specific classified information or is leaking information with a specific intent to overthrow the government. And that's what's taking place here. I don't want to seem duplicitous, because I'm not. I'm very consistent with this. But now let's look at who the reporters are. Again, they're not named in the indictment, but just from the descriptions given, it's very easy, I would say easy, to make the determination as to who they are. All right. The one reporter is Manu Raju of CNN. The second one, Ali Watkins, obviously of the New York Times. And of course, she worked for BuzzFeed prior and Politico. The third is likely Mariana Sotomayor of NBC, and the number four is Brian Ross of ABC. Now, I would turn to Sundance at this point, again, just for some additional information. He wrote that accepting there has been a great deal of work on the leak investigation and accepting the purpose they're in, the Wolf indictment appears strategic. And this is where I want everyone to pay attention to, in that it captures four of the largest media outlets within this particular net. Four mainstream media enterprises are now on notice. Now, with more than 6 months of investigation, as I went through earlier, and the timing of the indictment, which is when it became public, which is extremely critical, it's very likely that the FBI leak task force has caught more than just Wolf. Wolf is simply the first to be identified publicly and will likely lead to Dan Jones. Now, remember that name, Dan Jones, and hold that thought. Because it was on December 15th when with the evidence and admissions therein, and specifically noting that the FBI showed Wolf photographic evidence, because he was under physical surveillance as well as electronic surveillance. And that's another important issue, because physical surveillance is it has been a part of the anti-Donald Trump coup movement. I don't want to get too far outside of the scope at the moment, but I want everyone to understand this, according to the people I've spoken with who understand the anti-Donald Trump, let's get Donald Trump, FBI and such. There was actual physical surveillance on Donald Trump. And in this case, we see it's proven that there was physical surveillance on James Wolf, which resulted in photographic evidence, tossing the photographs down on the table, basically, and showing Wolf with, in this case, Ali Watkins, we'll say. We got you. So, understand, physical surveillance was part of this. Remember, just also in the back of your mind, Dan Jones. Now, Wolf opened the door to an investigative path that he was almost certainly, most assuredly followed. And I guarantee you, having done surveillance and being recognized as a surveillance expert as myself in the course of my activities as an investigator in the private sector, and actually writing a now out of print book about surveillance, I can tell you that that would put anyone in Wolf's path. It would identify anyone in this path, photographically, video-wise, whatever. It would identify more than just Wolf. And anyone would now be inside this investigative review. All right? So understand that. This is going to be more than just Wolf. And the other part of this that's so important for everyone to understand is he was basically busted. It was 6 months after he was busted before he was arrested. So they got him, and 6 months of investigation went by before they actually pulled the pin on the investigation. And this is critical to understand, because this casts a much bigger net and has identified, and I'm sure of this, has identified more people involved in the leaks, in the transfer of critical information from within the, in this case, the Senate Intelligence Committee to reporters. But this is so critical for people to understand. So the FBI, the white hats in this case, within the FBI, the people who want to see justice and are working for justice, they would be able to use the information gathered from Wolf, from the investigation of Wolf, and exploit his compromise, for example, for search and surveillance warrants on other participants. And I guarantee you that is happening right now, right this very moment. Okay, now, notes CTH. Well, it's difficult to gain a search and seizure warrant on a journalist. It's noted that reporter 2, Ali Watkins, was identified and an appropriate search warrant was authorized by the court. Ms. Watkins was notified on February 17th of this year. So she knew. In fact, there is a letter from a U.S. assistant U.S. attorney to Miss Allie Watkins, to her attorney, that essentially, we got your stuff. So, December 15th, 2017, a search warrant executed. February 2018, grand jury seated May 2018, arrest, indictment June 2018. You see how this is playing out. So the Sessions Department of Justice, the FBI, the white hats in this case, are working to expose the deep state operatives. And remember, James Wolfe was in place for nearly three decades. This is a career guy. And this goes back to the idea, is this politics as usual? Why would somebody with 30 years risk everything from freedom and liberty to basically his life just for Clinton? For politics as usual? No, it's bigger than that. There's something bigger than that. So this all goes back to, and we have to look at this with a wide-angle lens, this all goes back to exposing those individuals who are in an active conspiracy to take down President Trump, to reverse the election of 2016, as crazy as that sounds, and to destroy our representative republic. And I don't want to make it sound hyperbolic, but that's exactly what's going on. That's it. And this shows, without any doubt whatsoever, the complicity of the media. And by the way, this does show, this lays bare the wiles of Brian Ross, ABC, about getting fake news, about his fake news leak about Michael Flynn that he had to later retract. Remember, it was on December 1st, 2017, when Brian Ross reported on Michael Flynn. And but nonetheless, okay, so you can see the timeline here. All right, now I'm going to stop right there with respect to, specifically with respect to the Wolf and the four reporters. So you've got, I'll say this, and again, hats off to Sundance. Overlay the details. When you look at the specific details, which I did not get into, there's a bigger picture that emerges. There is no doubt the operation to catch the leakers inside, the swamp leakers, the individuals dedicated to take down Donald Trump, is being carefully executed by the white hats and the FBI. Again, the capture of James Wolfe in December 2017 opened the door for 6 months of surveillance on all contacts. Look at the bigger picture. And also, I said this before, he was not charged with the most serious aspects of his leaking of classified intelligence. He was just simply charged with lying to the FBI. Is that some oversight on the FBI? Of course not. No, it's almost a certainty that there was some kind of deal structured where the FBI investigation would continue and Wolf would stay quiet. At some point, when they got you, you start dealing. And that's what happened here. Those investigators have been working from that door being opened from December 15th through the present. And we have yet to see the fruit of that investigation. But we will. And I do believe it's going to be timed after the release of tomorrow's OIG report. And I mentioned Dan Jones, an important part of all of this. Who is Dan Jones? Dan Jones is a staffer, former Feinstein staffer, who raised $50 million, hired Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele after the 2016 election. This from a declassified congressional report. who that confirmed that Daniel Jones, a former Intelligence Committee staffer for Dianne Feinstein, was the guy, was the person who actually hired Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele to push the Russian collusion narrative against Donald Trump. That's who Dan Jones is. Look, we have to keep our eyes on the bigger picture here. Now, there was just quickly here. This was reported back in April, but there was a declassified congressional report that confirmed that Daniel Jones, again, a former staffer for Dianne Feinstein, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, hired Fusion GPS, hired Christopher Steele after the 2016 election to push the anti-Trump Russian collusion narrative. Think about this. People think, well, this just happened during the 2016 election. No, it's bigger than that. It's ongoing. And Daniel Jones, a staffer for Feinstein, was part and parcel to this, to continue this narrative beyond the election. Why? By the way, Jones operates an investigative firm called Penn Quarter Group, PQG. Now, according to the congressional report, Penn Quarter Group told the FBI in March of 2017 that he had retained the services of Fusion GPS and Christopher Steele to continue exposing the Russian interference in the 2016 election. Now, Steele, of course, is a former British spy. And now, although Jones' name is redacted in this specific report that I referenced, the biographical details plus previous reporting, it makes it clear that he's the person referenced. The report also revealed that Jones told federal investigators that he raised $50 million from 7 to 10 wealthy donors located primarily, where would you expect? New York and California, of course. Jones previously worked as a senior intelligence staffer for Feinstein, and who, by the way, who currently serves as the ranking member on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Remember what I said about the Senate Judiciary Committee? Not good there. And of course, they're supposedly investigating Fusion GPS. All that against the backdrop now of the OIG report. Now, the segmented OIG report. But think about it this way. Feinstein violated committee precedent. Remember when she had a head cold and she made that disclosure, released the transcript of testimony of Glenn Simpson? Remember that? She violated at least the ethics, if not the, well, she violated committee precedent by unilaterally releasing that transcript of Glenn Simpson's testimony, Fusion GPS, without disclosing that a former top staffer, that being Dan Jones, was directing the firm's efforts during the Judiciary Committee's investigation. What I'm telling you is, this, just to drive this home, this is an ongoing coup attempt against dethroning, or that's a improper phrase, destabilizing President Donald Trump as president of our country, and also taking down our representative republic. We are seeing now from the Wolf indictment to the pending OIG report and the information leading up to it and everything that's gone on. We're seeing the people who are the black hats in this, the people who want to take down our country. We're seeing them being identified through the various steps that are taking place, not happening as fast as you and I would like, of course, but we can see forward movement behind the in advance of the release of the OIG report. So tomorrow the program will probably not, I'm sure it won't, the OIG report will not, the program is going to precede the release of the report. So what I intend to do is do more than one show tomorrow. This is going to be an incredible exposure to the wiles, to the nefarious activities of the deep state. I hope that this has made sense to you, understanding the components of this rather complicated machine. It is kind of like a soap opera, isn't it? But we'll keep you informed. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.